Number 11. The next type of mentoring in the occasional level is the teacher. The teacher's focus is to impart knowledge and understanding regarding a specific subject. Sharing this information empowers the mentoree to utilize it for growth and development. After refinishing my first piece of furniture, I discovered that I really did enjoy working with wood. And my interest grew to the point where I needed some woodworking power tools. And I heard people talk about a router, so I bought one. Without knowing exactly what they did or how they worked. And I noticed router tables in the stores, but I couldn't figure out how the router fit onto it and how it connected to the table. I had never seen one connected or attached, and so it seemed to me that there should be a place on top of the table for the router to sit. And instead, there was only a hole in the center of the table. And so, realizing my extreme lack of knowledge on the subject, I asked a friend in the church who was very, very good with woodworking to come over and impart some knowledge to me. One morning, he came over and helped me understand how routers work. The router, as it turned out, attached to the table from the bottom. And he taught me about bits, woodworking safety, how to operate the router to ensure that when you are done, you still have 10 fingers intact. And he even showed me how to work the router. He brought over a stack of wood for me to practice with on the router. And really, his sharing of very specific information about a specific area of knowledge, and that was working with wood on a router, empowered my ability to use my new router effectively. Had I not been taught, or had I not gathered that information, my router might have perhaps stayed in the box, never to be used because I didn't know how to use it, or I could have used it improperly and ended up missing fingers or hurting myself. And we didn't discuss how to use a drill or how to use any other types of tools. He came to teach me and share very specifically his specific knowledge in the area of working on wood with a router. And it was very helpful and very empowering to me. And now I know how to do it. I have often sought out individuals with knowledge in a specific area that I wanted to grow in. And I called them up and I requested their input for a list of must reading on the subject and asked if I could take them to lunch to discuss my learning with them after reading the material. They were thrilled with the opportunity to impart their knowledge and their understanding of the subject to me. I don't know if they had experienced before someone coming to them saying, I need to learn this. Would you provide me with a reading list so that I can study and read, and then I want to take you out for a meal. I want to go out to lunch with you and talk about this because I want to learn this area, and I know you know this area. And I want you to impart to me the knowledge that you have. And see, these were great learning experiences for me. Teacher-mentor relationships can be very informal, such as my experience with the router, as really it only lasted a few hours. But they can also be very formal situations, where there is a time commitment, clear expectations, and accountability. The teacher and student in a formal classroom would really be a good example of a formal teaching-mentor situation. Here you have someone imparting knowledge, someone who is willing to receive it, with homework and test and various other papers acting as methods of accountability. As part of my Doctor of Ministry studies, I taught a course on theology designed specifically for lay people. With a handful of 10 to 15 people, we began the first of 25 lessons covering bibliology, theology proper, and Christology. Now, I didn't call them that. I called those areas the Bible, God, and Jesus. But it was a formal gathering with pre-testing and post-testing regarding their cognitive knowledge of the subject. I was the teacher imparting knowledge to individuals who desired to grow in this area of understanding so they could apply their new learning to real-life situations. For this type of mentoring to occur, all you really need is someone who has understanding and knowledge in a particular area and who is willing to share it. You also need someone who wants to learn it. And the two of them getting together to pursue learning. The duration of the relationship may be long or it may be short, depending on the needs of the learner, depending upon the subject studied, and depending upon the level of mastery that is desired. All of those things will influence the duration of the relationship. Now, let me make a clarification at this point. By teacher, I am not referring to someone who is filled with knowledge, but who is dry, boring, monotone, and really basically lacks the ability to communicate their knowledge. I am referring to someone who shows some enthusiasm for the topic under study. I'm referring to someone who illustrates points for understanding. And I'm referring to someone who reveals the relevance of the subject matter to life, and then goes farther and challenges the mentoree to use it. I'm referring to someone whose teaching motivates the learner to pursue further learning. We've all have stereotypes in our minds of someone who has been a teacher, but who has bored us almost to the point of death. And they in no way affected us or influenced us. So by virtue of being a teacher does not necessarily mean that you are a teacher mentor. You have to be able to teach the subject in such a way that empowers the learner. And I think it might be possible for a particular teacher to be a teacher mentor for someone and do very well at it, and be possibly a not so good teacher mentor for someone else based on the attraction on the subject that's studied, and the mentoree's learning style. When I taught my theology course, I went to great lengths to assure excitement and relevance. I didn't dance around on the table, but I found that good teachers have the ability to organize their subject well. And they have the ability to connect the learner to appropriate resources, and then provide evaluation to see if specific learning has occurred. And in my opinion, this type of learning should be a continuous endeavor for Christians. Because Peter tells us we are always to add knowledge to our faith. We are to continually grow and learn. And so a teacher-mentor relationship can be a continuous aspect of our Christian life. Not always with the same person, mind you, but with a variety of individuals, depending upon the specific subject area we need to learn. There are always people who have knowledge in certain areas that you do not know. Let me assure you right now that you do not know everything. And I will confess quite readily that there is a great amount that I do not know. But you see, these areas are as varied as there are needs. There are different people with different needs and have different needs for learning different subjects. Maybe you have a need for more knowledge in business savvy. Maybe you have a need for more knowledge in foreign affairs. Maybe you need to really learn a great deal about interpersonal relationships. Or maybe you need to increase your understanding of some specific areas of theology. You see, there can be all kinds of areas of knowledge you may need to tap into. And the key to finding someone who will teach you is to know your needs specifically. The more you can specifically state your need, the easier it will be to find someone who can provide the knowledge and understanding you need. For instance, foreign affairs is a humongous topic. Theology covers a vast area. And it may be more difficult to find someone to teach you because your area is so broad. Their expertise may be limited. However, what specific area of theology do you want to learn? Christology? What about Christology? Do you want to learn more about the incarnation of Christ? What about foreign affairs do you want to know? Do you want to know about our affairs with Europe or with the Far East? And if it's with Europe, is there a specific country there? Is there a specific product? You see, the more you can narrow and specify, the easier it will be to find someone to provide specific teaching and knowledge in that area. And so the teacher-mentor imparts specific knowledge and understanding regarding specific subjects in order to empower the mentoree to use it for further growth and development. The last type of mentoring in the occasional level is the sponsor. The sponsor focuses on helping individuals move upward in their careers. Through a relational process, someone in a position of authority and credibility helps another who does not have the resources of position, authority, or credibility to increase their degree of influence within an organization. Mentors help leaders move within an organization. this type of relationship could occur within formal structures such as a business or a church, or it could happen informally within infrastructures such as committees or communities or even more informal groups within those structures. In most of the other types of mentoring, the mentoree initiates the relationship based on his or her needs. Here, in most cases, the sponsor initiates the relationship. Sponsors look for up-and-coming leaders within the organization, people with an innate drive and desire to contribute. They desire individuals who show the potential for development and who they think will respond well to their sponsoring. Sponsors understand the workings of the organization, and they possess a network of relationships indispensable to career movement. They are in the circle, and the mentoree is not yet in and needs help to get there. The sponsor can open doors and convince significant others to give the mentoree a chance at positions that challenge and reveal skills and abilities. They are strategic people within organizations who desire what's best for both the individual and the organization. They are not self-seeking and are willing to risk their own reputation on the mentoree. Sponsors not only open doors, they often create them. They not only help to create new positions, if needed, they also can move a person out of the organization if it is in the best interest of everyone involved. With no mean spirit whatsoever, sometimes the best track, the best career track for an individual may be outside the organization. Mentorees may be too far ahead of where an organization is in its vision and goals. And so to keep them there would really slow them down and not unlock the potential within them. Sometimes organizations are unable to provide the type of challenging positions and situations necessary for a person of great potential and skill. So to avoid personal frustration and possible organizational conflict, it may be best to move the mentoree to an organization where he or she can realize their full potential. And again, this is not done in a mean-spirited way. The type of sponsor that I am referring to is someone who is not self-seeking, who really has the best interest of the mentoree in mind. And so by having them go outside of the organization could be best for everyone involved. It actually protects the mentoree from frustration and not being able to advance career-wise. And it provides more suitable and challenging opportunities if they are guided to more suitable situations. Now, let me hasten to say that the idea of a sponsor may be offensive to some because we're talking about moving within an organization. And for those of you who are not pastors, you probably don't have any real problem with this because you understand quite clearly the notion of promotions and job performance reviews and moving up the ladder. There's nothing wrong with being successful in an organization and from moving up the ladder. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes in the religious field or in the church world, that word career is bothersome to some because we think of the pastorate as a calling and not as a career. And I'm in full agreement with that. However, there is nothing wrong with moving within the organization of a church or a denomination if God so wills it. If God moves you up to a certain level, then that is fine, because you have been moved there by the Lord and placed there, and obviously as a pastor you have a servant attitude. And we're not talking about climbing the ladder of success, stepping on everyone's head to get there, and having that as a goal. I think the goal of a pastor is to be wherever God wants him to be, whether that's at a denominational level or at a local pastorate level or any other level. So to move within an organization is not bad. It's probably the motivation and how we get there that attributes to some of the bad thinking on the subject. But this whole scenario with the sponsor could be easily misconstrued as some slick human maneuvering to use people as stepping stones for career advancement. Some believe that this actually leaves God out of the process. And there was a time in my life when I probably had similar feelings. But God need not be left out of the process at all. And it is a grave mistake to think that we should just sit on the sofa and say, God, lead me, and never leave the couch. Never talk to anybody. Never increase our skills and never do our part. Because that might infer that God did not work. You've heard it said that God can't move a parked car. All good gifts come from God. And if there is any success at all in any aspect of our life, it certainly comes from the hand of God. We have to acknowledge that, and many of us do. So it is wise to remember that God oversees our life. God is the one who moves in our life, and God directs our life. Lest we think that we've done it on our own through some ingenious, slick maneuvering to link up with key people who will advance our careers. Our trust is in God and never in a sponsor or any other human being.